Hey man, how's it going?
Hey Chris, it's been a few episodes since we've chatted. How are you?
Good man. I'm a little tired from the last few days.
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple of days after our big event.
What time did you sleep into the next day? You went to work, didn't you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, you took the Monday off.
I took the Monday off.
You had to go into work.
Drove my wife to work too, so didn't really sleep in.
Oh man,
she has to be at work at like 8:30.
Oh jeez. And then you gotta drive across the city or something to get to.
We don't work that far away from each other. That's good, actually, which is good. It was an accident.
We're
like my job, Carmen's job, and our house form a perfect triangle.
Okay.
10 kilometers apart.
Gotcha.
On each side, so it's like convenient.
That's good. That is good. It is convenient. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to, I'm sure we have a lot to talk about with the event stuff. But before we get to doing that, we can do a bit of follow up. We did consecutive weeks with guest hosts for like the first time ever, which is not really, you know, much because ever is like 5 episodes up until that point. But the episode with Jen was a big hit. It was listened to a ton. Yeah.
I was like 75, I think.
Yeah. It's been the biggest, the most listened to so far.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's Jen Simmons.
Yeah.
It was a good hour and a half podcast. We got our first, I guess, feedback about doing a transcript. So something for us to figure out how that would work out.
Yeah, which
seems like transcription services are pretty expensive.
Yeah, because actually, in one of Jen Simmons' podcasts, which I can put in the show notes, she talks about dealing with getting transcriptions done. She wanted to get all of her podcasts transcribed, and she has volunteers that do it for her. And she told me that like the pricing for doing it, and it is pretty, you know, doing a weekly podcast that's, you know, around an hour, it's too much. Mm-hmm. And we don't have any money for that. That's for sure.
Yeah. It looks like, I can't remember you were saying, was it like,
it's $1 a minute.
Yeah. It's pretty pricey.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that it's pretty pricey. It's just that we you know, we don't have any sponsors. We're just doing this.
Yeah.
We're winging it, right? So,
yeah, once we get this thing going, maybe we'll be able to do it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
$1 a minute.
Unless there's people listening that wouldn't mind. Unless there's people listening that wouldn't mind volunteering to do it. If you're interested in doing that, get in touch with us. So. You did that one with Jen.
Mm-hmm.
I did a podcast with Jason, which was fun.
I haven't listened to it yet.
It's been busy. I put it out on the Sunday night because like I felt really bad that, you know, I hadn't got it out. Sort of. I usually put them up on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
And it seems to be when I look back at all the stats, it looks like it gets a lot of listens on those first 2 days, but. I was away doing wedding things, and I got back on Sunday afternoon at like 3, and then we were doing dinner at 6, and
yeah.
I just like I ironed my shirts that I was gonna wear. I took a shower, and then I finished editing. I didn't really have to do any editing. I had to do all the show notes and stuff, so I had to sort of listen back through it. It's good. It was only like 42 minutes or something, so. It didn't take me very long to get all the stuff together, but it was a lot of fun.
It's awesome.
It's a little different talking to somebody that you don't really know, because it's not that I don't know them. It's just, you know, in your case, it would be more of a thing because you didn't know Jen at that point at all, really.
Oh yeah, I've never spoken to her before.
And did you do video or just audio?
Just audio.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and is that weird or?
I find it's easier like at the beginning, it was kind of strange not seeing the person I'm talking to.
Right.
But then like as the conversation got going, it was kind of like the same.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
but yeah, I find like even like on Skype, if I guess I've done Skype calls without video before, and it was it depends. I think it was just the podcast because I was just used to seeing the video.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't like it's not like a phone call or like a regular like a Skype call. It was just like I was just we've only done video for podcasts, so that was the first time doing it just audio, and it was kind of like just different, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was gonna say. Like, and when I did it with Jason, we did video too, mm-hmm. which made it a bit easier for me. But not knowing, like, I was saying before, like, it's not that I don't know him. It's just I haven't talked to him in a couple of years, so it started out a little sort of rough, and I felt a little sort of out of place and sort of flailed a little bit on a couple of things. I didn't really execute well on a couple of topics that I could think I could have done better, but
yeah,
that's okay.
It's all right.
It's all right. I think you have to sort of build up. Like, I mean, we've known each other for years now, right? And we talk all the time. So it's, yeah, so just, it's like, we're just recording it, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But we should do it more often because...
No, it was good.
It is fun.
Some guests. Maybe like once a month.
Yeah.
Like, so we do like 4 podcasts a month. So one of them have a speaker, I guess, from that we don't know, I guess.
Yeah, somebody that's been at one of the events or something like that. Mm-hmm. Somebody from the community, somebody from one of the other groups, something like that. Yeah, we should definitely do something like that. So I think that's all we're going to do for follow up. Do you have anything that you want to follow up on?
No, I think that was a good follow-up. The past couple of weeks, if you haven't listened to the previous 2 podcasts, check them out. The one with Jen Simmons and Jason
Little,
yes.
We'll link their Twitter profiles in the show notes.
Will do.
So
let's talk about the Apple event.
You want to talk Apple event? Okay, let's do it. Did you watch it? Did you watch any of it?
I did not watch any of it.
Yeah,
I just learned that they launched the MacBook again from your show notes, and I was like, what the hell?
I tried to watch a little bit of it, but I was busy in the afternoon that day, and like it was, the stream was okay, but I was having trouble doing, like, because I have a PC at work, so I had to use my phone, which was a bit of a pain in the ass, but I didn't really watch it, and I usually don't watch it when it happens. I followed a live blog and saw pictures and stuff, but yeah, the MacBook, not the new MacBook Air, it's just the MacBook. That's the first thing that I thought was kind of cool and interesting. It's
interesting that they brought that back.
Yeah.
So was the MacBook Air also redone?
They updated the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro with that Force Touch trackpad. That's it. That's it, though. They're essentially the same as they were before, the Airs and the Pros.
And
that's the thing, right?
Is
like
gold?
You've got I don't. I mean, that's the thing. So is the MacBook like? And this isn't really the right wording, but is the MacBook like in a lower category than the Air, or is it in between the Air and the Pro now?
No, it looks like according to their scale, the MacBook Air is between the MacBook and MacBook Pro.
Okay, yeah. So the MacBook is now sort of like the bottom of the line,
which it was before.
Yeah, when it was
actually
the plastic,
no, right.
The white
MacBook
plastic
Air
one
was underneath the MacBook last time before they discontinued the MacBook.
Yeah. Yeah, way back.
I remember it was the MacBook Air
2009
was cheaper than a MacBook.
2009 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Excuse me. It maxes out at 8 gigs of RAM, boo. So you can't really go higher than that.
That sucks.
But, like, so when you get some time, watch the video. I'll put it in the show notes. But there's a video on the Apple site, apple.com/MacBook. I think it's the design video. It's the one where Johnny Ive's talking in it, and they show like the logic board on it. It's tiny. It's I'm trying to think of something in my mind like to compare it to for scale, but it's so small. So there's like, you know, there's no room to upgrade anything. That's for sure. It's all battery. The whole inside of it is battery.
It's just a battery.
Yeah, it's all batteries. It's and then just this tiny little logic board. It's pretty well done, but. And then the one port thing.
That is crazy. So
only
one port to charge to do everything with it?
Yep. It's
so what, like USB-C. If I want to plug a display and
So again, there is this cool adapter they make. So it's like
of course they do.
Yeah, and there's an adapter you can get that has like a display port, like a Thunderbolt port. I'm not looking at it. I'm not going to type and check it out. You can look at the accessories or whatever.
Yeah.
It's got like another USB-C connector for power and like USB devices, and then a Thunderbolt one, and then maybe a regular USB one, like a normal USB connection. I can't remember, but you know, you're gonna have to like rely on hubs and stuff. But again, I don't think the point of that computer is to be like a computer that you do a ton of work on, like
that's true.
Requires like video editing or high resolution graphics editing where you need access to like a bunch of external hard drives and stuff like that. Like it just, that's not, I don't think that's what it's for, you know,
because it's like that's so funny how when they had the MacBook before, the MacBook Air was the lighter version of the MacBook.
Yeah.
And now the MacBook is lighter than the MacBook Air.
It is. Well, and it's funny because it's, when you look at the size of it, it's in between the two MacBooks.
But it's the bigger MacBook screen. Airs.
Well, it's 12-inch.
Yeah.
And there's an 11-inch MacBook Air.
11-inch.
Yeah.
11.6-inch.
And 13.
And a slower processor.
Yeah, much slower.
This is weird.
It's really weird.
And it's more expensive.
What, yeah, $1,590. Well, Retina display.
Okay.
Right. It's got the Retina display. You've got the 8 gigs of RAM. The, I think, like, 128.
Yeah, I guess it's the hard Retina drive.
Retina for sure.
Yeah. But you know what's other interesting thing is, for the first time, you can get them in different colors.
Yeah. That's kind of neat, eh?
That's interesting.
They're doing the whole color thing through the whole product line.
Yeah.
It's really, and the watches, which we'll talk about in a little bit, they have the same color schemes going on as well with the space gray, silver, and gold.
Yeah.
Same themes, different implementations of the colors, but same theme.
See, exactly.
But these laptops look exactly like the iPads.
I know, yeah.
Like in terms of the styling and the colors and stuff like that, the keyboard. Check the keyboard out. Like,
yeah, it's
did this crazy. And this is what I wanted to talk about this a little bit. Like it's so interesting that Apple's doing things like this because they have like that ability to.
So like the keyboard is almost like the full width of the. It is.
Oh, it is. Yeah, no, it is. But like. The keyboard, using the keyboard as the case, like they redesigned like the switches that sit under the keyboard so that they could make it thinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like the only way that they can do that is because they have access to the people that can design that kind of thing and then the manufacturing that can actually execute that kind of thing.
Yeah, like they control everything.
Yeah. Like a different company would be sort of at the will of whatever their suppliers can give them. Mm-hmm. But like in Apple's case, they are their own supplier, so they can do what, like that's where their
the advantage they've got.
Yeah, that's the advantage, right? Like who's making new keyboards and new trackpads?
Yeah.
Like that technology, like for all intents and purposes, hasn't really changed for 10 years, 15 right. years, really? Yeah. I mean, and until Apple started, you know, like with the touch, with the multi-touch trackpad and stuff like that. So I think that's That's interesting. And in the trackpad, the technology in the trackpad, the Force Touch or whatever, mm-hmm. is rumored to be on the next iPhone. So that wow. it'll be like pressure sensitive, touch sensitive.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. I don't really understand what the applications for that would be. I've never once in any situation with a phone or a computer thought I could have really, you know, I could have really used the ability to like press harder on this to do something.
Now you can do different interactions now, though. Let's say you have an app and you have a volume button on it.
Right.
Instead of it, typically now it's like a slider almost, is what the interaction is. But with that, you could kind of like, okay, keep holding here and it would increase the volume.
That's true. Yeah. Or you could use that
to decrease volume.
Or like a hard press to indicate like starting the volume adjustment, and then you can slide your finger in it and then you let go to indicate you're sort of done, right?
Yeah, I guess kind of create some maybe not so much on the phone, but maybe even like on the iPads.
Well, and the computer itself. Well, yeah, and that's the thing with the trackpad on this new MacBook, it gives tactile feedback. Mm-hmm. Like it has a little vibrating thing in it that gives feedback. I don't know, for games.
There's going to be a MacBook at some point where the trackpad is an iPad. A small iPad.
Could you imagine?
Or an iPhone. Or you stick your iPhone inside your MacBook and that becomes your trackpad and you can pull out
stuff from
inside your phone.
You don't even need to stick it inside anything. You could like just being using your phone as like a remote control in a way, and that's sort of like something they're doing.
Ubuntu phone thing.
Yeah, and like because they're merging like with continuity and all that stuff and the hotspots and now with the watch. So do you want to talk about the watch a little bit?
Let me just switch to the watch.
Again, if you didn't watch I did watch a bit of this video. I don't really like the features and stuff. I don't wear a watch. Do you wear a watch?
No.
No, you don't wear a watch.
More,
right?
I used to. Well, like, I think I stopped in like 2008. But then for me right now, it's kind of like an accessory. And I still have watches, but I just wear them for like weddings and
fancy things. When you need to be a gentleman.
Yeah, when I need to.
When you need to be a gentleman, you get a watch.
I think when you're wearing a suit, the suit looks weird without a watch.
There's certain things that you have to have going when you're wearing a suit.
The watch is required.
A watch, a tie. Well, a tie.
Not necessarily, but a watch for sure.
A watch.
Cufflinks are good. Just look like.
In lieu of a watch, what about cufflinks?
Cufflinks,
because that does a little thing
something
down
has to
there.
Go on at least one wrist or both wrists, I think.
Well, yeah.
If you're not putting cufflinks, get a watch.
Yeah, get a watch, even if you only wear it. But are you looking at the watches right now?
Yeah.
I've spent a fair bit of time looking at them.
The stainless steel one looks pretty cool.
Yeah, the stainless steel one looks really nice, and I you're gonna have to navigate the pricing because it seems to be pretty wide and varied. But I can't say I was right. I mean, I got all of my pricing information from John Gruber's blog, Daring Fireball. What's the price?
It's not on the watch page.
Let's go to the store. I think they have a pricing matrix somewhere
there.
Shop
watch. Okay, there we go.
But yeah, the most expensive one I think is $17,000.
Damn.
Yeah.
So this is the watch. It's the stainless steel one.
Now is that the 500? Oh yeah, that's the watch.
Yeah. Stainless steel case. Now where's the all stainless steel? The watch is not that one.
You mean the Watch Edition? Probably. Watch Edition, that's the super expensive one.
Oh, that's the crazy one.
Yeah, no. That's the ridiculous. The
one with the stainless steel band?
Oh, you can configure them. They have all different configurations. Oh, I see. You have to, like, slide the slider to do hickey across and check everything out. Yeah.
That is cool. This interface here.
Yeah, they do. Their site is actually really well done, especially the product pages and stuff. And now that they've overhauled the store, they didn't do the store until just recently. And they had that, like, old version of the store, but with mostly the rest of the site looking in this new interface.
Yeah, so the stainless steel one is like $1,000.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, so the sport watch is that the bottom one? Watch sport. That's like $349 to $549, I think, or no, $349 to $399, I believe.
$399.
Yeah, and then whatever the bands, you can get the bands separately too, so that can also add to the price. And then the watch middle tier is what, $1,000, starting at $1,000, probably going up to what, 1500?
Starts at 500.
Okay.
And then goes all the way to 1,000.
Okay.
That's crazy.
And so the pricing is really interesting.
It's crazy how they've built one product. And you're paying, and the stainless steel band isn't really expensive, but they're just kind of like, it looks like they launched 100 new products.
I think there's 39 different combinations of all the various products, I believe.
Yeah, like the stainless steel one, like, why is it double, why is it 1,000?
The material.
Which material?
And because
it's the same watch.
No, the material that they're making it out of, like the watch sport, is made of like aluminum or something. I think, right?
Also, the watch itself is different.
Yes, the material of the watch is different. That's what that's what differentiates the tiers. The material of the watch. So it's aluminum, stainless steel, and then gold. I think are the three.
Oh yeah, look, it's like different sizes too.
Yes, there's a small one and
38 millimeter, 42 millimeter. There's two sizes.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it in terms of actually owning one.
Yeah, two case sizes to choose from.
I don't think I would buy one at the moment.
I don't think so. The display is also interesting. Jen was actually mentioning this, how they got it like curved, how they got the display to curve as well.
The engineering is just bonkers on the stuff. It's crazy that they do like all of that stuff in house. So yeah, that's an interesting discussion about Apple. It's time to move on, I think, to the event. We're gonna spend a little time talking about the event.
So what do you think?
It was amazing. It went off top notch. Other than a couple of weird things in terms of numbers, which we can touch on later. Just the atmosphere, the turnout, the food and the presentation, the hosts, achievers, the hotel, the guests, the speakers, like it was like everything was really top notch, and it really showed. And people were making comments about things, like they were commenting about how we were dressed. They said they were commenting about the food. They were commenting about just how everything was set up and done professionally, which I think is great. I think we did a wicked job.
Yeah, I think it was it went as good as I thought it would go in my head. Like I had this idea for it of how it would go, and I think it was like I was pretty impressed that it was actually pretty close and. Minus a little bit of a technical difficulty with the clicker during Jen's talk.
Right.
I don't know what was wrong with that clicker. It was fine earlier when I was trying it out.
Something always has to go wrong.
Something has to always go wrong.
It's always, I think, that be thankful it was just that, like a tiny little clicker.
Yeah. And Yeah, and I guess no, actually, that was, I think that was it. The food was fabulous.
Yeah.
The caterers did a very well, good job. Kind snack bars went away, like they were gone. Like I think at the end of the night there was like two left.
Yeah, if even. I had a couple, I'm not gonna lie. They were good.
People took him home.
Holy crap, they were really good.
They were so good, and it's a good healthy snack.
They're delicious though too, and so many different flavors. Like, sometimes with those healthy snacks, like the whoever's making them, they like make two flavors or like two varieties of them, and then you just get bored of it, right? But there was like six.
So many. I think there was six or seven different kinds.
Six or seven different kinds. So go and try some of those. And I checked out all the ingredients. You can I think there was one thing on there that I couldn't pronounce, which is a pretty good sign. For
that's good.
Yeah, that's a pretty good sign for an ingredient list. But anyways, we sort of veered off on that one. So maybe we can talk a little bit about some of the behind the scenes stuff, because maybe people are interested about what goes into doing something like this.
Yeah, so I think it was because we did this crowdfund campaign, I think that was interesting too. I personally recommend a platform like Picatic to anybody who's doing events, because it just takes away all the risk of doing an event, and you're able to start testing out the demand for any event idea you want and see if actually people will pledge a ticket. Or buy some, not technically buy, but they enter their credit card, and
if it's you a meet placeholder.
It's a placeholder. You're reserving your ticket. It's like it's, you know, like, I don't know, what do they call them? Where you put in an order before
pre-order.
Pre-order. Of course, yes, that's what they call it. So yeah, you pre-order your tickets, and if you meet your target, then you go ahead with it. If you don't, then No problem. You just move on and we don't do it. So I think that was interesting that we did that, and I do like that idea. I think we probably will keep doing that for all our special events, just to make sure that the organizers of DevTO are thinking the same about the event as others are, so that we're not really way off and we think this is a great event and it turns out not to be one. So yeah, I like that. In terms of funding, I think kind of like looking at crowdfunding event apps such as Picatic.
Yeah, it's a really low risk way for doing these types of things.
Because you don't need to commit to anything really at that point. You just gotta think about what you're gonna offer in that event. Have some idea of like some sort of confirmations around certain things like the date but all that stuff can change, and you do it far in advance. Like even for this one, we only did it like, I think it was like 6 or 7 weeks.
It wasn't far off.
But for next year, we're thinking we'll do like 12 weeks and try and do something twice, three times as big as this year.
Well, and the nice thing too about that kind of a system is it becomes your ticketing system too. When your thing gets funded, then people still buy tickets through that same platform, and then that's your ticket platform then.
Yeah.
Which is nice. You don't have to then charge people for tickets through a different avenue, which saves a ton of hassle.
Exactly. And I guess also like when you're in the crowdfund stage, you have that crowdfunding meter that kind of like helps with the hype and promotion of the event, and people kind of seeing it and being like, there's only five more tickets to go to make this happen. Let's push it over the line. I've seen a few tweets like that towards the end of the crowdfund campaign, and
so that's good. And so in terms of logistics, I mean, we can probably just, without getting into too many financial details, just sort of outline that, you know, we'd put up people in a hotel. We sort of, you know, Nail and Henry pick Jen up from the airport. And
I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
You're inviting speakers over. We've heard that from our speakers for the IWDTO that in the past they've been to events where the organizers would be like, okay, just send us the invoices and we'll reimburse you. But then you got to think about it from the speaker's perspective. It might be a strange city. They've never been to it. They don't know where they're going. Even if they have to pick up a cab and go, it's still like it's the right thing to do to go pick them up, send them a car, go yourself, which is what we did.
And I think that's a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. We also did the night before of the event. We had a speaker dinner with the organizers as well, so that we all got to meet and discuss the event and hash out some final ideas or some questions about how things are going to go that night. It's a great way to like get to meet them over food and drinks and get to know your speakers. Before, you were kind of like mostly communicating over email, maybe some Skype calls, but it wasn't, you didn't have that. If you've never met them before, you don't have that personal, face-to-face meeting, and the dinner was a good way to do that.
For sure. And I think it, again, in what you were saying about, you know, us being a speaker and sort of landing in an airport in a strange city, having a dinner and sort of getting everyone together and sort of, you know, making them feel comfortable, and also, you know, when they get to know you a little better, they then feel more comfortable, you know, asking for things. They don't, you know, they feel like they can work with you a little bit easier when it comes time to do the actual speech or the actual day, or if anything goes wrong, which I think is important too, right? Like, you know, you want to create like an environment for these people to succeed. Mm-hmm. at their talk. So if they want to get in there and check out the space, let them get in there and check out the space. If they want to test the stuff themselves, let them test the stuff themselves, right?
Yeah. We did one thing the night before also. We've been at the venue before, so, and we've had DevTO events at that venue. So we also sent them kind of the videos of those events for them to get an idea beforehand, before they arrive at the venue, of what it looks like and what's the setup like, where they're going to be standing, and so on.
Yeah, which not everyone can do. That's not always possible, but if you do, or even if you can get in there and take pictures of the place, or even just go record a video with your phone or something like that, just to give some sense of the size of the room and you know, where they'd be speaking and what things would look like.
Mm-hmm.
So we had wine, beer, pop, water, food, and not the usual pizza that we do at events, but we had it catered, which was a huge hit.
Yeah.
That was awesome. People were super pleased with that.
It was good. It was a wide spread of different things. Put up some pictures, I guess, maybe with a blog post for this podcast. But it was like, I don't know, half a dozen different items.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was lots of food left over.
Yeah.
Due to some disparity in the attendances.
Yeah, you want to talk about that for a little bit? So we had a ton of food left over.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of food left over. And Nail, you ran through the numbers.
Yeah, so I broke down the guest list by types of tickets. So we had few different types of tickets. We had the early birds. We had the general admission. And we also had the comp tickets. And finally, the party of five tickets. So party of five tickets, we had 100% attendance. Those people that bought it,
oh, that's all good.
Showed up. That was good. The general admission, we had almost 100%. Um, But part of the general admissions were also the comp tickets.
Right.
So that's where we had about like more than 50%. I think it was like 55%. So like that didn't show up. So if you're planning your own event and you're comping tickets, don't account for all the comp tickets to show. I guess for our next event, we won't account for that.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll probably account for like 50%.
I think that's a safe
no
bet.
No shows there.
Yeah.
Just so that we have a better number on for food and such.
Yeah.
And then early birds, which was also strange, because early bird tickets was the crowdfunding one, and we had about 40% no shows there, and those are people that spent money to buy it.
Yeah, it's like
at a discounted price.
It was like what, $12 with all the tax included.
Yeah,
I believe
the difference between and the general admission was like $17 with the tax.
Yeah,
and that was almost 100%.
So that's a pretty interesting indicator in terms of price point.
Yeah. But also, I was talking to someone else, and the early bird, people bought them way early. So you might not have realized you have a scheduling conflict. Maybe True. You were just wanting to support the crowdfunding campaign.
True. This is but that's
but
an
at the same time,
point.
There's some people that gave away their early bird tickets.
Yep.
But still, there's a good chunk that didn't. But overall, we still had a pretty packed event and a good night.
Oh yeah. One thing.
Luckily, the people that did show took all the remaining food because
yes.
There was a lot of it left.
Yeah, and that was great, Shanta. If you're listening, thank you.
Thank you, Shanta.
It would have sucked to have to have thrown
Teresa.
That out. That's something I think.
Doina.
That's something I think we should take into account for the next. There's maybe a thing to remember, something to add to the checklist is a way to deal with any leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always seem to forget about that.
That's true.
Leftover drinks, leftover food. We can't always, like, drinks are easy to leave at a company at an event space because everybody always wants beer or pop or water or juice. But
yeah,
food.
I wonder if that late would there like, there's probably like, kind of like shelters that are open.
There must be. We should
find out.
Should look into it. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because that would be like we could go drive drop all that stuff off.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that difficult.
No.
No.
Must be something open in the city at like 10 or 11, when such events end.
We'll add that to the list Next of things one. To do. And overall, it seems like I've seen a couple of tweets from some of the speakers saying that they were really happy with how things went. Anybody that's listening, at some point in the very near future, there will be video of the talks, which will be great. So if you weren't there and you missed out on it, you can watch it on YouTube, on the YouTubes.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely watch those because I missed different portions of each talk. It would be good to kind of sit down and just like I heard a lot of laughter in all three of them, and I missed a lot of it.
that's a top tip for being an event person is like don't plan on actually seeing. The stuff that
if you're seeing it, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. I mean, of course you can, you know, when you're walking by or something, you can peek in and watch for a few minutes, but you know, there's usually something to be done, you know, while people are in there watching stuff. So, I'm going to watch them too. I can't wait until the video's out.
Yeah.
And the interviews. We did interviews with them as well after they'd done their talks. So I don't know what we're going to do with that. And with that, maybe we'll just get the footage and edit something. I kind of want to try and make a trailer or something. Like.
Yeah. So we're going to get that. We're going to get a trailer. We're going to get the talks, videos, the interviews. So we're gonna get all those. So we'll definitely have a recap video, even a short 3-minute recap.
Highlight reel.
Yeah.
The highlight reel.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Then,
so yeah, it should be good. Adam Chow from Chow Productions and team are gonna put that together, and we'll see what we can when we can share it.
But yeah, and they did a fantastic job. They did a fantastic job.
They were, yeah. So Adam Chow, they've long history with DevTO, all the way from the early days, the first year. Now he's got Chow Productions up and running. We've got a team of people. They're going to have actually some students coming out to our events and doing some like interviews, basically.
Nice.
To kind of like for them, I guess, for training purposes, and then we get some
free highlight reels and stuff.
Yeah, just kind of like the testimonials one that we had that one student do for us a few months ago.
Right. Oh, that'll be good. That'll be great. That's something that we've been, for everyone that's listening, that's something we've been trying to focus on when like content generation this year, which is, you know, why we're doing this podcast. Trying to get more stuff up on the blog, more video, more photos. So yeah. So we'll wrap up talking about that and wrap up for tonight, because I am tired, man. I'm so tired.
I'm gonna go crash.
My voice is like cracking and I can't talk properly. We're both coughing like we're gonna die.
Yeah, I'm still getting over that. I was sick last week.
Yeah. Man, so down.
Now I've got the cough that's just hanging around, taking its time before it gets the fuck out.
I maybe have found the show title right there. you might have just dropped the show title right there. Yeah. I'll decide later.
All right.
So yeah, we'll wrap up. We will be on again in a week from whenever you're probably listening to this. We're doing an event this month at the end of the month.
Oh yeah, we didn't mention that.
Yeah, so we'll do that.
Quick shout out on that.
Yeah,
so this month at Crowd Tilt at their new office.
Yes.
So we'll be checking their office out, but we have two fabulous talks lined up. First one is from Robin Larson, who used to be a nuclear engineer, and now she is a front-end developer at Normative. She went through the 9-week boot camp at HackerU and now works as a web developer.
Decent.
So she's going to share that story, tell us how one nuclear engineer becomes a front-end developer. And then second talk is Travis Patron, who's going to talk to us about Bitcoin. You've heard about that magic internet money that everybody's using. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people are using. And we're going to learn more about that. What is it? How does it work? And we'll probably get into some of the issues that we might have heard about in the news about Bitcoin or exchanges getting hacked or... So it should be an interesting talk.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And in brand new office space, which will be great. So yeah, go to meetup.com. Go if you want to register. It's meetup.com/devto events and RSVP and come out. Yeah, so that's going to be it for this week. If you want to get in touch with us, you can go to the website. It's devto.ca/category/podcasts. That's got all the podcasts there. You can send an email to talks@devto.ca. You can follow us on Twitter @devto. And you can follow me on Twitter @Jonesy. And
you can follow me @NaelShawa, NaelShawa.
Cool beans. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time, folks.
See ya.